You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 460
on flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Is anything going on? Nothing's going on, is it?
No, nothing interesting.
It's fine. We're here. It's the Backs of Life. We're kicking off our big Backs of Life project, whatever that means, today. We'll explain what it means in just a second. First, Cornflake, let's get started right now. What's happening for National Whatever Day?
I know we did some Cobra Kai talk recently on the show, but today, for National Whatever Day, we get a zero right in on John Kreese, because Martin Cove is turning 75 years old.
Hey, yes, sure. One of the stars of Cobra Kai, of course. Really one of the great villains in cinematic history.
For sure.
So yeah, all right. So he's the head of the Cobra Kai Dojo, Karate Kid, the original. And just the beginning of Karate Kid 2, he's just in that opening scene, like immediately following the tournament from part 1, the parking lot scene, where he freaks out, attacks his own students,
tries
to attack Miyagi, that doesn't work. Then he's out for the rest of that movie, because we're going to Okinawa.
Right.
But now he's back for part 3, Karate Kid 3, Kreese is there again, hooks up with his old Vietnam buddy to get his revenge. But then next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank, no Kreese.
No sign of him, yeah.
But now he's back. It's Cobra Kai. He's back. And yeah, he's been around. He was in other stuff. I'd see Martin Cove in other stuff here and there, although I can't remember any of it right now.
Rambo movies.
I figure you've probably looked into this and you would know where else we may have seen Martin Cove.
You know, he even turned up in Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That checks out.
Police detective is Becky.
By any name, I still think Tyne Daly could take him. You know, hand-to-hand combat.
You think so?
I don't care how well-trained he is with his Cobra Kai karate. Cagney and Lacey taking him down. Come on.
Well, you know, since he's returned to Cobra Kai, he's also gotten some commercial spots on the air that show a softer side of John Kreese. Have you seen any of them?
Yeah, I feel like I've fast-forwarded through some Martin Cove. It looks like he's in character.
He is.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what's happening because I fast forward through commercials.
They are worth watching. Strike first, strike hard, hug often, Koala Kai. In the commercials, he's running a dojo where you support the leg and you show more mercy.
All right. And he's fighting with koalas.
Yes.
Those things are tough.
They really are. I mean, they got some teeth on them.
It's the deadliest animal in nature. There's Martin Cove at 75.
He's turning 75 on March 6th.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense because Karate Kid was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
1984. Yikes. All right, there's Whatever Day. Happy birthday to... Oh, happy birthday, everybody from Karate Kid. Who cares? All of you. Now we're doing something special today. We announced this last week, just in case anybody wanted to take us up on our homework assignment and actually watch the same goofy old sitcom that you and I both did, because obviously we are drooling, obsessive fans of the Facts of Life, classic 1980s sitcom. And we've also been talking about backdoor pilots on the show, of course, and that's when they use an episode of an existing sitcom to attempt to launch a new sitcom, and sometimes it has next to nothing to do with the sitcom that they're spinning it out of. It's just a trick. They lure the audience in to watch the show they expect to see, and then suddenly the scene shifts to a radically different show. It's a backdoor pilot. This happened on The Facts of Life several times over the long run of the series, and today we are launching a series of Flopcast episodes in which we will examine all of the Facts of Life backdoor pilots. It's a series that we are calling The Backs of Life.
Including the show that launched The Facts of Life as a backdoor.
Yeah, this first episode of The Facts of Life is a weird one because The Facts of Life itself started as a backdoor pilot, spinning out of Different Strokes, of course. So we're starting not with a Facts of Life episode, but with a Different Strokes episode. Now, before we get into this one, let's talk a little Different Strokes in general quickly. Cornflake, were you a fan of Different Strokes?
You bet I was. Loved that show.
Oh yeah, me too. I think I just kind of stumbled upon it. I remember during the first season, what a fun show.
I gotta say I didn't make the connection though, because I'm pretty sure I first started watching Different Strokes when it was in syndication.
Yeah, because there's a whole Different Strokes cinematic universe, essentially.
Yes.
With The Facts of Life and Silver Spoons and Hello Larry. It's all connected. So Charlotte Ray played Edna Garrett, the housekeeper, in Different Strokes season one, and was such a great character, they thought, let's do a spinoff. And so the final episode of Different Strokes season one was the backdoor pilot to give her her own show. So we're looking at Different Strokes season one, episode 24. The name of the episode is The Girls' School. This aired on May 4th, 1979. Looking into this, it was originally going to go by a different title. The original name for the backdoor pilot episode was Garrett's Girls.
Oh, wow.
But then they renamed it The Girls' School. By the time it went to series, of course, they decided on calling it The Facts of Life. But here's the super weird part. While they were developing this to be a backdoor pilot called Garrett's Girls, when they were casting the girls for this show, based on what I read in my studies, the role of Blair originally was not going to be played by Lisa Welchel.
Oh.
Blair originally was offered to, and this is someone that we've talked about on the Flopcast, and just last week we were talking about the fake Brady Girls.
Yeah, we were.
Because of the Brady's series from 1990 had fake Marcia. Very Brady Christmas, a couple years before that, had fake Cindy.
Right.
But the original fake Brady Girl, we go back to the mid-70s, the Brady Bunch variety show had fake Jan, played by Jerry Reichel. According to what I read today, Jerry Reichel was offered the part of Blair for the pilot of Facts of Life, for Garrett's Girls.
Oh, wow.
And then, this says, was forced to give it up due to her contract with General Mills.
Oh.
So that's weird.
Yeah. I dare say so.
I guess she was making cereal commercials. And so was not available to shoot the pilot, and it went to Lisa Welchel. What a different world we would have been living in today.
I 100% agree, because the rest is history, and I can't picture anybody but Lisa Welchel in that role.
Oh, of course. She owned that role of Blair right out of the gate, where we're going to talk about the backdoor pilot episode, of course. And there's Lisa.
Yeah, she stands right out.
It's hard to even imagine fake Jan, Jerry Reichel, as Blair. So if this is true, what an amazing bit of trivia that is. I'm so endlessly fascinated by the fake Brady Girls. And there are layers to their story that we're still uncovering to this day.
Absolutely.
This is bigger than all of us.
And we never say that lightly.
We might have to launch a whole new podcast just about fake Brady Girls. It's such a rich topic. We can't really do it justice here on the Flopcast.
Well, the beauty of having an idea like that, Kevin, is that no one can stop us. So
we're definitely going to talk more about the fake Brady Girls again sometime soon. But for now, we must move on. Let's get back to the girls' school. Backdoor pilot episode of Different Strokes. So this thing starts, of course, we're looking at Different Strokes season one, the opening credits. We know the song, written by Alan Thicke, of course, the classic, and sung by Alan Thicke, the classic Different Strokes theme song. So we open, it looks like a Different Strokes episode, and so there's just one quick scene in the Drummond penthouse apartment, and it's all in the kitchen. The only hunk of the normal Different Strokes set that we even see in this episode is the Drummond's kitchen.
They're having breakfast.
Which is a crazy kitchen because it has that spiral staircase.
Yeah, it's so cool. I always wanted one of those.
Oh, man, I love a good spiral staircase. Because you're out in the main living room set of Different Strokes. There's that big grand staircase, you know, that leads up to the next floor. Because this is a giant, super rich dude's apartment.
Right.
But now we're in the kitchen. Just kind of a little modest-sized kitchen, strangely. Although There is a spiral staircase, so it has that going for it. And
it's so classy.
Kimberly marches down the spiral stairs in the hair curlers, looking goofy.
Yeah, and Willis makes a joke about it.
And we get a little bit of backstory that Kimberly goes to this girls' school. And yeah, now we're off to the school. We're getting our first look at what eventually will be Eastland School for Girls, but the school has a different name in this pilot episode because it's called East Lake.
Oh.
Not Eastland. Yeah, if you look at the shirts that a couple of the girls are wearing, Sue Ann is wearing...
That's right. The bright yellow shirt.
She's wearing an East Lake School shirt, like a cheerleading shirt or a gymnast shirt or something. They hadn't settled on the final name of the school yet, so that's interesting. There's also a quick exterior shot of the building, and it's a totally different building than the one that they would use when they went to the series. We go inside, and it's just a mass of screaming girls. They're throwing basketballs around.
Volleyball, basketball, beach ball.
Some of them are doing handstands, walking around the room on their hands. It's quite a scene. There's generic disco music is playing because it's 1979. And Mrs. Garrett even makes a comment that it's like Animal House.
Yeah, that's so good.
Which is a very timely reference because Animal House was a pretty recent movie at that point. That was 1978, I think. We start catching fleeting glimpses of many of the Facts of Life girls, and it's most of the girls that would go on to be in Facts of Life Season 1 are there. So we see there's Blair. Blair has a guitar.
Yeah, that was weird.
Now, you've seen some Facts of Life Season 1 more recently than I have, I think. Did Blair continue to have a guitar around when they went into the Season 1 of Facts of Life?
No. Okay. I'm kind of glad they didn't.
And then we also get Smoking Blair.
Right.
At one point, Mrs. Garrett looks over and just sees a cloud of smoke rising up from behind a chair because Blair is crouched down behind a chair with a cigarette. And you know me, I immediately flash back to C-3PO seeing a cloud of smoke coming from around the corner because R2, you've got a cigarette.
Of course.
Which also happened in the same era.
I love how Mrs. Garrett took the fall for her, though.
Yeah, when the headmaster comes in, she grabs the cigarette so that Blair wouldn't get in trouble for it. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, the headmaster is questioning Mrs. G about it, and she's talking about how she smokes all kinds of things, including rope and bamboo.
That got a little weird. Yes.
Yeah, it really did.
So anyway, we see Nancy, we see Sue Ann. We see Tootie.
Going by on her roller skates.
Tootie's on the skates, of course. And Season 1 Facts of Life Tootie, when the series proper started, of course, for the first season of Facts of Life, Tootie is always on roller skates. And there's a practical reason for Tootie on skates as well, and that's that she was so tiny.
Oh, it gives her some height.
Yeah, she was very young, and she was little. She was a lot littler than the other girls, and so that solved the practical situation as well as, yeah, let's give her a few extra inches by putting her on skates.
Yeah.
It also, of course, was such a fun, goofy visual gag to
have. Yeah, she definitely acted as if she did not have the hang of being on those skates.
Yeah, also, by the time it goes to series, she's a little more capable on those roller skates because she was just
probably had to be
flying around, constantly crashing into everyone and everything in this episode. So that was fun.
And you get your Molly Ringwald fix.
There's Molly as well, of course. Here's young Molly Ringwald, future movie star. And Molly would be around, of course, for the entire first season, Facts of Life, as well. And Molly's character is a little different here in that the gag with Molly seemed to just be like run-on sentences.
Yeah.
She would just
a lot of blabbering.
Blabber on and on really quick and say a million things all at once. And did it really well. It was funny. It was cute.
It was adorable, yeah.
When they went to series, she was kind of like feminist Molly, you know?
Yeah.
She was like
loud.
And she was little. She was one of the younger kids on the show, but she was also, you know, angry woman.
Very outspoken.
Molly,
yes.
Yeah, she was cool. And a couple of other girls. There was a girl named Jennifer, and there was a girl named Laura, who were just kind of introduced quickly, and they had a line or two, maybe, each. And they only appear in this backdoor pilot. They certainly were not among the regular cast when the show went to series. But I looked them up. Jennifer was played by Jennifer Rooney. Laura was played by Laura Schumann. For both girls, this is their only IMDb credit.
Wow.
So that was it. Now, noticeably absent, we're missing a couple of girls because no Cindy, and especially no Natalie. Mindy Cohn had not yet been hired. And Mindy Cohn, of course, as we mentioned during our Facts of Life tournament, they found her as an actual student at a girls' school attendee. So that happened evidently, after the pilot was shot, but before the series went into production. So still some casting adjustments, of course. And another big casting adjustment is now we meet their headmaster at the school, Mr. Crocker.
The Croc.
They call him the Croc. And Mr. Crocker, I don't know if you recognize this guy, Jack Riley. This is a guy that worked forever, did 1,000 things. He was a mainstay of TV comedies and movies, certainly all through the 70s and 80s. Best known probably from the Bob Newhart show, the 70s version. The Bob Newhart show where Bob was a psychiatrist or psychologist, I never remember which, in Chicago. And Jack Riley was one of his patients on that show, a guy named Mr. Carlin, and was hilarious. Just this miserable, angry, bitter man, super sarcastic and nasty, Mr. Carlin. And you would know him from a place that I did not know him from, but you watched Rugrats, right?
Of course.
And Jack Riley was the voice of Stew Pickles.
Oh.
I don't even know who that is, but I know that's a Rugrats character.
That's the dad. Okay. That's the dad on the show.
Yeah, so that's Jack Riley, and here he is as the headmaster for this backdoor pilot. Now, when they went to series, they recast. He was not on the Facts of Life series.
Yeah, because I don't remember seeing him in season one. There's a different headmaster.
Yes, yeah, season one, there was a regular cast member, was the headmaster of the school. John Lawler, I think, was the actor
who
played him in the series. And there was also a woman who was a regular faculty member, but that was season one only. Then they were both gone. But what a weird, goofy character on this show. There's the Croc. And I like in one scene, he's wearing like a neckerchief.
Yeah. Because he's producing a play.
Yes. He's written a play. All the girls have to put this on, and they're having trouble with their costumes. They don't know how to make their costumes, but here comes Edna Garrett now, and so the girls are all begging Edna to help with their costumes. Sue Ann holds up her costume, which has three arms, because she's having some trouble sewing the costume together. And Mrs. Garrett makes some crack about, well, Sue Ann, that'll fit if you grow a third arm or something like that. But that got me thinking, what if Sue Ann had three arms? I feel like I would have been all in on having one of the girls on Facts of Life have a third arm. Wouldn't that have been something if she suddenly, Sue Ann spins around, well, as a matter of fact, Mrs. Garrett, and then,
here it is.
Like Dr. Octopus, suddenly another limb emerges. Wouldn't that have been cool, you know?
It would have been something.
Let's get crazy. If Sue Ann had three arms, she probably would have made the cut when they were firing everybody going into season two.
Good point.
You know, it would have been, well, we can't lose the three-armed girl. That's what sets us apart from every other sitcom. Now, meanwhile, we get a little drama sets in all of a sudden, because now Mrs. Garrett goes into the next room where Nancy is in tears. She's holding a letter, and I immediately think of Roger. Because season one, Nancy, when we go to series, her whole character is she's moping around, worried about her boyfriend, Roger.
Oh, right.
When I see weeping Nancy with a letter, I think, uh-oh, it's a letter from Roger. But I was wrong. It was a letter about her father lost his job and she has to drop out of school. They can't afford the tuition at East Lake School for Girls.
Did this give you flashbacks to Highfeather?
Not until just now, no. But yeah, Tom had to leave Highfeather because his father lost his job and they couldn't afford to pay for summer camp.
The truth is, everything gives me flashbacks to Highfeather.
I thought I was more obsessed with Highfeather than anybody in the world, and then I made the mistake of introducing you to Highfeather. And I had to step aside as the world's greatest Highfeather super fan. But yeah, it is a similar plot development. Here we have Nancy is going to have to leave the girls' school. There's also a frog in the scene because one of the girls has lost a pet frog named Leon, suddenly hops on top of Mrs. Garrett, and that was outstanding.
What is a nice big frog, too?
Good looking frog.
They didn't mess around.
They should have kept the frog around as a regular when they went to series.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I think Blair would have loved that.
They should have just let Nancy drop out of school, lose Nancy, keep the frog. I would approve of that. No, I like Nancy, though. now we get, there's a scene with some of the girls moping around, all sad because Nancy's going to have to leave the school. And in fact, Jennifer, one of those girls that we never hear from again, is part of this scene. And the weird part in this scene is that Tootie announces that Nancy let Tootie borrow her bra to use as the tail on a kite. What's going on at this school?
Absolute bedlam, it seems.
I guess. Let's not dwell on that. Moving on, now we're at a rehearsal for their big play. The play is called A Mid-Autumn Day's Fantasy, by the way.
Yes.
Loosely based on Shakespeare, evidently. But now we get another flash of Dana Plato. Here's a Different Strokes regular Dana Plato, of course, Kimberly Drummond.
Who we never see on the Facts of Life, do we?
She makes one or two guest appearances, as do several of the Drummond cast. They do some more crossovers a handful of times. But here in the backdoor pilot, Kimberly is one of the stars of the play. There's a scene where she has to do like a little ballet move.
She executes it really well.
And then land on the couch. And you can tell this is like her moment. Like she wants America to see that she has a little bit of ballet training because she tries to make this into like a real ballet moment. And I'm not a ballet expert, but I felt like, yeah, how impressive was this really? And there's even like a little obligatory studio audience applause burst, you know?
Yeah.
As she lands on the couch.
Oh, I thought it was fun.
You were impressed?
I was. I can't do that. Can you?
Absolutely not. I'm not saying I'm as good a ballet dancer as Dana Plato. Believe me, I've tried.
Right. I mean, nobody's whisking her off to, like, the Nutcracker anytime soon, but I thought that was fun.
Well, fine. I was amused anyway. We'll say that.
Yeah, maybe seemed a little overdone.
Yeah.
But adorable.
So we get some silly rehearsal scene, and we kind of smash cut to post-play. We don't see the actual play being put on. We cut right back to here's after the play. And here's after Mrs. Garrett had hatched a plan to come up with scholarship money so that Nancy can stay in school. And that's that it just so happens that the head trustee of Eastlake School is also a very good friend of Different Strokes star Phil Drummond. And so there's a little behind the scenes, you know, back room negotiations to get the head trustee dude on their side, and they strong arm Mr. Crocker into coming up with a arts scholarship so that Nancy, who's the star of the play, can stay in school. So there's your happy ending. All thanks to Phil Drummond, evidently.
Happy ending for Nancy, but something interesting happens at the end of this show, knowing what we know of how the Facts of Life started.
Yeah.
There was the suggestion of Edna Garrett coming to work at the girls' school.
Right.
But the Drummond family was not immediately on board with this.
Yeah, they offer her the job. You can come be our new, what do they call it? The house mother, head mother?
House mother.
Okay. You and I should get jobs as house mothers. I think we'd both be very good at that. You know how I love children.
Oh my goodness, you would hate your life so bad. But can you imagine, like, Cornflake as a house mother?
Are you good at just shrieking the word girls really loud?
You know I am.
Because that's like 60% of the job, based on what I've seen on the Facts of Life. So they offer her the job. She turns them down because, no, I have to go back to the Drummonds. This is my family. I have to go be the housekeeper on Different Strokes. But the whole Different Strokes cast is there in the final scene. Like, they all went to the play. And we get Arnold wearing a donkey head.
Oh, this is so great.
Because one of the girls, Sue Ann, I think, had a donkey head on as her costume. So then at the end of the play, we have Arnold, for some reason, is wearing the donkey head. And then when the prospect of Mrs. Garrett leaving Different Strokes to go be the house mother at the school, we get Arnold, of course, his reaction as the donkey. We hear the donkey head say, "What you talking about?" His classic catchphrase. A beautiful moment. And yeah, so as far as we know, at the end of this episode, Mrs. Garrett is staying with the Drummonds. And she kind of does temporarily, because I think she's still around for some of Different Strokes season 2.
Yes.
And then she kind of faded away from Different Strokes, and they brought in Adelaide, of course.
Adelaide Brubaker.
But here we go, Cornflake. That's your backdoor pilot for The Facts of Life. It's the girls' school. But anyway, Cornflake, now it's time to judge. because what we're going to do at the end of each one of these episodes of The Backs of Life, evaluating these backdoor pilots, I want to come up with a rating. I'd like to get your rating for this episode, and we're voting on a scale of 1 to 10 tooties. How many tooties do you give this episode?
I don't want to overthink this, but I'm going to give this episode 8 tooties.
8 tooties. That's a good score.
Yes.
I'm going 10 tooties.
Wow.
I mean, what they accomplished here, to have virtually this whole large cast was already assembled successfully. You know, almost all the girls for Facts of Life Season 1 are in place. And to have the Different Strokes cast there, to have Charlotte Ray launching into her own long successful show and becoming the massive success that it would, the goofiness of the play being put on, they worked in a little bit of sadness and drama with Nancy. You've got Jack Riley there from the Bob Newhart show. So much going on. The ghost of fake Jan is smiling down upon it all. So I'm going 10 tooties, but 8 tooties, that's a totally respectable, appropriate score as well.
Really solid. The only reason I'm withholding any tooties at all is because Mindy Cohn's not there yet.
We are missing Mindy Cohn and, what's her name, Julianne Haddock, who played Cindy. So a couple of more Facts of Life girls yet to come.
I also liked John Lawler better. As the headmaster.
You prefer season one headmaster? Sure.
I do. And not that Jack Riley did a bad job. I just happen to really like John Lawler in that part.
So, Cornflake, we did it. That's our first episode of The Backs of Life. And this will be an ongoing series over the course of the year, I think.
I am really enjoying this. And I'm so glad that we got started with this particular episode, because now I'm going back and watching all of Different Strokes.
Oh, wow.
Boy, did they cover some interesting subject matter in that sitcom.
They're both great shows.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a few weeks off from The Backs of Life and, you know, do some other stuff. So these are not going to be consecutive episodes. We're going to space them out over the course of the year. I think this is going to be like an 8-part series, if I've counted my backdoor pilots correctly, something like that. So we'll give you a little warning when it's time to do the next one. We'll tip everybody off the week before. We'll let you know which Facts of Life episode to watch, and we'll go from there. But that is The Backs of Life. It begins. And a couple of plugs before we wrap up, Cornflake.
Let's have them.
Let's do that. We just released another episode of ESO Board Silly.
That's right. You had a board meeting.
Episode 11. We do a, I'm on the ESO Network Board of Directors, as you know, not to brag.
But you're kind of a big deal.
But I'm mad with power. Especially for this episode, actually, because right before we started recording, Mike announced that I was hosting.
So I was surprise.
But all we did was talk about what kind of TV shows we're watching. I was like, hello, welcome. So what's everybody watching on stupid TV? And that's what we did. So I made it really easy on myself. And it's just a bunch of silly TV talk. That's ESO Board Silly Episode 11. Fun show. But here's the catch. The only way to hear this show is to support the ESO Network on Patreon. So if you go to ESO Network Patreon, sign up, support the network, and this is some of the bonus material that you will get for your support includes access to ESO Board Silly. Check that out. Also on the ESO Network, this week I was on Pop Culture Cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
With our buddy Gerald out there in Las Vegas. Gerald does Pop Culture. He does so many shows.
I can't keep track of it all.
I don't know how he has time, but Gerald has me and ESO director Mike Faber on annually. The three of us get together for Pop Culture Cosmos to record a segment about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees, which we covered here on the Flopcast just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
It's also part of Pop Culture Cosmos once again, as it is, I don't know, we've done this 3-4 years in a row, something like that.
Yeah, it's very much a tradition at this point.
It's a grand, proud tradition, and we have a fun little talk about the Hall of Fame every year. So that just came out a couple of days ago, I think. So we'll have links to that episode of Pop Culture Cosmos. Check that out. And my final plug is we want to congratulate our friends over at the 42Cast, also here on the ESO Network, because 42Cast just reached episode 100.
Woohoo!
So congratulations to Nathan and everybody who contributes to the 42Cast. Good job.
Very nice.
They talk about all kinds of stuff on the 42 cast, which is good, because around here, evidently, all we talk about is the facts of life. That's why we need these other shows across the network to balance things out a little more, you know? Because we're busy here. We're busy with Blair and Tootie. Cornflake, get us out of here.
Okay. Please come find us on the internet between shows. We're at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter with a handle of @flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast. You could go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. And one other thing you should know, of course, is that music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Yeah, but you shouldn't really listen to the Sponge Awareness Foundation. I would say for ultimate listening pleasure, do what they do at the East Lake School for Girls and listen to generic 1979 instrumental disco music and throw basketballs around the room. That's a good time. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for the Flopcast once again. Everybody, thanks for joining us for this weird Facts of Life episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Meanwhile, please, you know, be safe, be good, be kind, be silly like us. And always remember, the facts of life are all about you. We'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
I'm Brittany Trudeau.
I'm Martha Bartlett.
And this is But First, Let's Talk Nerdy.
Clink.
Oh, how was that? That's going to be our promo.
Done. Cut it, Kevin. Send it.
Bam.
But First, Let's Talk Nerdy. It's two nerd girls talking about nerdy things over a couple of drinks. What could go wrong? Part of the ESO Network.
Here at the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, we make every show from the finest ingredients.
Juicy interviews, fiery film nights, delicious desert island DVDs.
And pack it all into a slice of life in every episode.
Order up our specials now from your delivery guys.
Sean from Canada.
Dan from Kent in the UK.
And Paul from near Liverpool in the UK.
Here on the ESO Network.
The Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Serving you a slice of life.
Mm-mm.
Oh, say, Cornflake, this is the secret after show.
It is secret after show time.
Let's make this a backdoor pilot for our new show about all the fake Brady Girls.
Do we have enough time for that?
We have no time at all. Let's not do that. What's going on?
I have been following along with a documentary in the making pertaining to Logan Whitehurst. We've talked on the show time and time again about the Logan Awards in the comedy music scene, and they're named after Logan Whitehurst. I'm backing the documentary, Your Friend Logan, the 4-track mind of Logan Whitehurst. And I just got a 14-track rare unreleased compilation of songs by Logan Whitehurst and the Junior Science Club called Miscellogonous. And that's what I'm going to be checking out after the show. But I saw a note in the message that said, news relating to the production of said documentary will be announced very soon. So, a little something for you after-show listeners to look forward to if you are fans of the music of Logan Whitehurst.
I heard that Logan once used a bra as the tail on a kite.
Yes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.